Well, that's the second time my intro has freezed on one of these shows. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up. Boy, do I have a show for you today. Lots of pretty incredible stuff to talk about. Massive international and intentional mismanagement of funds provided by the American taxpayer going to Israel and war in general. Entirely expected and predicted illegal aggression by U.S. allies, even during peace talks. Child abuse in immigration facilities that link back to much larger stories that we've talked about in the past, and more U.S. hypocrisy overseas with U.S. election meddling and the double standard therein. But first, before I get to the main stories of the day, I have a couple of honorable mentions, if you will, that I had on the list to talk about but kind of got shoved over next to some other stories today, but I definitely thought were very, very important to cover. First story, one that's coming from the Ron Paul Institute, which is definitely an important story and worth noting on, entitled Assad Wins, Voting with Their Feet, Syrians Come Home. Now, quickly, just a note on this story. As always, I highly recommend you check out all of the articles in the show notes, which are all actually currently there right now, but I ask that you wait till the end of the show to go check them out, but do the research for yourself. Now, this story is important for one quick note. They make a lot of good points in this video, which is more a video than an article, but the point being simply that there are now over 600,000 Syrians returning under Assad in one specific area, basically debunking the lies, the U.S. lies, that these people would be massacred under Assad's rule and that all of them oppose his rule, when in reality they're all rushing home back to their lives now that the U.S.-backed extremists are taken away by the Syrian army, Syrian government, as well as another 300,000 in Aleppo prior to that, all rushing back, excited to be back in their homes under the rule of the actual democratically elected Syrian government. Very interesting to see how that completely contradicts all of the U.S. propaganda and Western propaganda. And another quick honorable mention, I've got three of them today, coming from the antiwar.com. Israel defense minister declares Syria war effectively over. Very interesting story. This is one that I think is kind of a propaganda story, but clearly Israel's trying to make the best of what they have in front of them. Clearly they lost what they're trying to do here. The West, U.S. specifically, and Israel lost what they're trying to accomplish in Syria. I would not say by any means that it's over, but clearly they can see that they are losing and they basically have lost. And I think in this regard, it's basically Israel trying to take a step back, trying to maintain its control over the Golan Heights, hoping that if they kind of concede to Syria, that they won't try to then take back the Golan Heights, which I truly think is going to happen once the rest of Syria is taken back, because that's rightful Syrian territory that Israel is illegally occupying, just like they're illegally occupying Palestine. So it's interesting to see how they're backing away here, but it's definitely not over. And no doubt the Israel will continue to fund and support extremists in Syria and arm them completely and give them medical treatment like they have well before this even started. But still interesting to see how this is playing out. And the final honorable mention for today is a video from RT entitled $700+ billion defense budget passes with, guess what? Bipartisan support. Bipartisan support. That's always the interesting part to recognize there. So yeah, that both sides seemingly overwhelmingly allow Trump to have more military power, while one side pretends to hate everything about him and that he's Hitler reborn. But yeah, here's another $700 billion+ to put towards military aggression around the world. They say 700 billion plus because it's more than that, but we have to also understand, and if actually go back to the video, the image real quick, it shows you there, at least as they're claiming. All right, which is true, by the way, but the point I'm making is the U.S. spends more than the next seven countries combined, right? More than China, Russia, all these people. But that's on paper as the $700 billion defense budget, which we're talking about the National Defense Authorization Act, which also include a lot of other horrible things that take rights away from Americans. But that's just the $700 on paper. As we've talked about, as Whitney Webb has documented, there's a lot more that goes into the military. A lot of other funds that get wrapped up in other supposedly non-military areas of the government, but ultimately go to black budget projects, which ultimately put the overall price well over $1 trillion in that budget. When you factor that in, that's more than the next 10 combined, generally about the rest, more than the rest of the world combined on its military. So those three stories I thought were important to quickly mention, but there's a lot more going on today, so let's get into the first story of the day in regard to the ones that I'm going to rant about for a little bit. And this one is one that really does get into my skin, from mintpressnews.com, entitled U.S. Military Aid to Israel Set to Exceed $3.8 billion, or, for more that want to really understand what this means, per person, $23,000 per year for every Jewish family living in Israel. Let that sink in while our infrastructure is falling apart, while we're spending basically nothing on Americans and putting all this money around the world to invade other countries and giving Israel millions of dollars a day. Now, much more than that, adding on, exceeding more than $3.8 billion annually, in addition to everything else. Yeah. That's one of those frustrating stories. So the massive funding for Israel's military is the result of the 2016 U.S.-Israel Memorandum of Understanding, as it's called, on security assistance between the Israeli and U.S. governments, which called for annual funding of $3.8 billion, or as the title said, $23,000 for every year for every Jewish family living in Israel for the next 10 years. I'll let you do the math on what that adds up to. It's pretty shocking. In an event largely overlooked, by no surprise there, by the U.S. media, the Senate passed a bill on Wednesday that would provide Israel with $3.3 billion in military aid, along with over $500 million specifically for missile defense over the course of the next year, from American taxpayer dollars. Even $500 million for missile defense for Israel is frustrating enough, coming from American taxpayer dollars. All told, probably close to $4 billion every year, in addition to everything else. The bill, officially titled the United States-Israel Security Assistance Authorization Act of 2018, is expected to be voted on by the House within the week. If approved and signed into law by President Trump, it would represent the, quote, single largest military aid package in American history. And I'm pretty sure we can all guess what the House is going to do, and then pretty sure we can all guess what Trump is going to do once this passes his desk. If everything up to this point is any indication, this will fly through Congress and fly off Trump's desk with more money going into Israel and right out of the hands of American taxpayers. That should be very frustrating to all of us. And it's also frustrating to realize, as we're talking about this, currently there is an American citizen in an Israeli prison right now, Joe Meters. Or maybe possibly on his way out or on his way home, but it was currently held in an Israeli prison as they violently pirated the recent Freedom Flotilla. These are the people that our taxpayers or dollars are going to fund their operations militarily, as they use that money to attack Palestinians and carry out gross human rights violations and violations of international law. This is what our taxpayer dollars are going to. As we have no clean water in Flint, as we see all kinds of stories we recently talked about PFAS and these different chemicals showing up on our water all around the country, and yet we spend all this money funding one of the worst human rights violators in the world. Arguably, maybe the most, you know, US, Israel, Saudi Arabia, they're all kind of vying for that number one spot, that little axis of evil we have going on there, which is very frustrating. But we have to see how this stuff is being used by our tax dollars. People often argue that's the first way to stop all this is to stop paying taxes, but it's a dangerous step to take in an authoritarian country, as they will lock you up. And we have to understand that taxes are not voluntary, which doesn't mean it's really a free society when you're being forced to pay taxes at the barrel of a gun. Anyway, very frustrating to see how this is moving forward with Israel while they're currently doing some of the worst things in the world. It should really resonate with you what that means, and by what that means about the representatives we currently have supposedly representing us in that White House. Let's move on to the next story, coming from MiddleEastEye.com, entitled 60 Dead After Airstrike Hits Hospital and Market in Hodeida. We were just talking about this yesterday, if you tuned into my longer show, about how this was likely going to take place. It's also a very frustrating story. So the port city of Hodeida, which we've talked about a lot in the last couple of months, which is currently under siege by the U.S.-backed Saudi Arabia coalition, was hit by U.S.-backed Saudi airstrikes, even as Yemen was offering a peace initiative to Saudi Arabia. And the U.N. was trying also to secure a Houthi-proposed ceasefire, where the Houthis actually did a self-imposed, they backed down militarily before they even agreed to the ceasefire as a show of good faith to show the world this is not some trick. We are backing down in preparation for you maybe taking our deal to a ceasefire. And during that time, the airstrikes hit the fishing port and fish market, as well as a hospital, I understand, in the Yemeni city of Hodeidah, killing 26 people. And I see, I'm actually seeing more update numbers that could be as high as 50. Yemeni medical sources and aid agencies said all this on Thursday, which was yesterday. The International Committee of the Red Cross said on Twitter it was sending medical equipment to Al Thawra Hospital to treat 50 people in critical condition following the attack. The hospital said in a tweet that a strike targeted its main gate, leaving dozens of casualties, while Houthi-run Saba News Agency said 40 were killed in the strike. Many, many, many of these people were civilians. As somebody said in one of my comments, those pesky fish markets truly causing a threat to national security. This is a horrifying thing to see. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about Saudi Arabia. These are the largest allies currently on the world stage, and they are both committing some of the worst human rights violations and violations of international law in existence today, while they're pointing the finger at Iran as some kind of evil villain. Pretty ridiculous. Yemen was offering this peace initiative to Saudi Arabia, and Houthi leaders were announcing a ceasefire self-imposed on themselves prior to the agreement. And as I said in the show yesterday, they will no likely completely ignore this as if it didn't even happen and probably carry out strikes continually. And guess what they did? Exactly that. It just shows you how unwilling they are to even consider a peace offer. This has nothing to do with peace. This is a horrifying event being done for power and for control as they're killing civilians. Currently in Yemen is one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world. Actually, as I understand it, the worst currently in the world. And one of the worst in history, U.S.-backed Saudi coalition. U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition. That should really upset all of you. Once again, more places our tax dollars are going as this country continues to fall apart from within, as we can't fund our healthcare, as we can't fund our teachers, as we can't do things for Americans in this so-called America First administration. Let that sink in. This is one of those stories that really does bug me as I continue to talk about this every day, and I fail to see even a lot of the alternative media truly covering what's going on here. Getting distracted by a lot of things they feel are important, by all means. They can have their own discernment about what's most important, but I truly feel what we're doing, what they're doing in our name around the world, is probably some of the most relevant stuff in the world, not just the United States, and we truly need to start paying attention to it. Let's move on to the next story, and this is a pretty horrifying story coming from theantimedia.com, as I believe it actually first came from ProPublica, and I first saw it on the Antimedia, entitled, Another Southwest Key Employee Charged with Sexually Abusing Children. Now, this is a pretty rough story, and this is something I recommend if you're not, you know, have the stomach for this kind of story. There's some pretty graphic details in here, so I recommend you tune in later if you want to watch it later, or just prepare yourself for some pretty rough details. Now, this story is pretty profound because of the main part there, Southwest Key. For those of you that have been watching this channel, there's a lot of connections here that I'll get into in a moment that trace back to Southwest Key, as we've called out in the past. Very important stuff. So a youth care worker for Southwest Key has been charged with 11 sex offenses after authorities accused him of molesting at least 8 unaccompanied immigrant boys over nearly a year at one of the company's shelters in Mesa, Arizona. Federal court records show. Now, first, we should also note that this is not a partisan discussion. These shelters have been open well before Trump ever came into power. So that's important to recognize. This happened under Obama. This happened under Bush. So those that want to make this a anti-Trump discussion should ignore that right off the bat. This has been going on well before Donald Trump. Yes, he did intensify it. And yes, he's just as guilty as all of them are. But it's not just a Trump thing. He's just as guilty, and he should be as yelled at as all of them. All of these presidents who are doing this same thing should be held accountable for this, including Trump. But it is not just about Trump. The allegations against Levian D. Poncheco, who is in fact HIV positive, include that he performed oral sex on 2 of the teenagers and tried to force one of them to penetrate him anally. This is a guy who's hired to deal with immigrant children. The other 6 teens, all between 15 and 17, said Poncheco had groped them through their clothing. All of the incidents are alleged to have taken place between August 2016 and July 2017. according to a court filing last week that laid out the government's case here. This case, initially investigated by the local police, is now proceeding through U.S. District Court in Phoenix. Phoenix. And U.S. District Court. So this isn't some hypothetical. This is a true ongoing case with all of these details laid out. Pacheco had worked at Southwest Keys Casa Cocapelli Shelter, I believe it's pronounced, one of eight the company runs in Arizona. Arizona is an interesting point we're going to get back to, since May 2016. Last week, ProPublica reported that police nationwide, have responded to hundreds of calls reporting possible sex crimes at shelters that serve immigrant children. One of those calls resulted in the conviction of a Tucson shelter worker for molestation. Obviously, Tucson is a pretty hot name in regard to some allegations that have been flying around. That story itself has plenty of reasons to be concerned about maybe misrepresentation of information, discussing the Tucson and the thing they found and the whole discussion that we had. There's a lot of reasons to doubt maybe some of the information there. But at that time, there were weird connections between the location in which that thing was found in regard to the, you know, the veterans that found that thing in the ground and the rape tree and all that discussion. There were some connections to that location and Southwest Key. So I find that interesting. I'm not saying it means anything necessarily, but a lot of this takes place in Tucson. Now, further documents have emerged describing alleged incidents in Arizona involving Southwest Key, the largest operator of immigrant youth shelters nationwide. Southwest Key knew of these claims well before they addressed Congress recently, but unsurprisingly omitted all of this when they discussed this. On Tuesday, an employee at Southwest Key facility in Phoenix, Fernando Majez Negrete, I'm not sure how you pronounce their name, was arrested on allegations that he sexually abused a 14-year-old girl by kissing her and rubbing her breast and crotch, according to Phoenix news outlets. And The Nation reported Friday that a 6-year-old girl who had been separated from her mother was allegedly fondled by a boy at another Southwest Key facility at Glendale, Arizona, in June. So clearly ongoing in all different areas from all different faculty. At other Southwest Key facilities, police reports and call logs from the last 5 years detail inappropriate relationships with staff, dozens of runaways, sexual contact among kids at the shelters, and other allegations of molestation by employees. All of this omitted when they addressed Congress. In one case, ProPublica found a 46-year-old youth care worker in Tucson, was convicted of groping a 15-year-old boy who had just arrived in the United States 5 days earlier. When asked how the company could assure the public that children are safe at its facilities by ProPublica, they responded by saying, "We find the premise of your question dishonorable." Clearly, as always in this case, using the moral high ground to pretend like, how dare you question what we're trying to accomplish here and our righteous high ground of what we're trying to do. It's disgusting to see this take place. Now, we should not take this at face value and say, everyone at Southwest Key is a pedophile. That's what happens today. And that's never the case. It's never that cut and dry. It could be true, but I doubt it. The reality here is that Southwest Key is one of many immigration facilities that are there's really no checks and balances here. And we have to remember the case where a recent congressman went to one of these facilities, which we covered, and simply tried to see the facility, and they called the police on him as the windows were blacked out in an old Walmart. Of course, which Snopes continues to say is not even true, even though we saw a video of it and a U.S. congressman was there. This is a Walmart with blacked out windows. This was a Southwest Key facility. Now we're finding out that they are grossly overrun with sexual abuse allegations. Now you can get more conspiratorial in this, and I recommend all of you dive into this and feel free and send me information. But I said from the very beginning, there is something off about this whole thing with Southwest Key. There is something going on here, and clearly I felt right about it as we continue to see more sexual allegations come out. And as they pretend to say, how dare you question what we would accomplish here, while they're allowing an HIV-infected employee to rape children and manipulate children. And he's now being fired for it. This is a horrifying thing to realize. And again, this is not a partisan discussion. Yes, Trump should be held accountable for allowing this to take place, but so should Obama, so should Bush. It's been going on for a long time. This is a very disgusting story. And it truly shows you the level of I guess, omission that within this regard, but also that in my mind, that there is a larger problem at play here. We've been talking about this forever. And again, something we can actually prove here, not just random allegations. The truth is that there is something wrong here. And we've seen it for a long time. And these government institutions and these government-backed institutions clearly have a problem. And it always comes back to child abuse. Ask yourself why. As we talk about immigrants being lost and you know, ending up in sex trafficking by their own statistics. As we talk about the fact that most kids that end up in sex trafficking, I think it was something like 88% in regard to the people that are coming from these locations, come from foster care and places just like this. As if they're almost funneling them right into these kind of areas. I recommend you do your own research here, but we have all kinds of information we've talked about in past shows that show you that this is something that's really going on. And how much you want to bet you're not going to see anything about Southwest Keys in the mainstream media, even though this is a pretty damn big story as far as I'm concerned. I'll leave it at that. But we will definitely be following up on Southwest Keys, and I recommend you do as well. Please do your own research. The final story of the day, one that truly does show the hypocrisy, as always, of the U.S. government in regard to many different things, coming from globalresearch.ca, entitled U.S. Meddling in Cambodian Elections is Foiled. So it would be unthinkable for an American opposition party run openly out of Moscow to compete in American elections. It would be even more unthinkable for the Russian government to declare U.S. elections illegitimate for disallowing a Moscow-backed party from running in American elections. We can have no doubt about those statements. Today, with all the Russophobia, that would never fly. Yet this is precisely what the U.S. and the European Union have attempted to do in the wake of Cambodia's recent elections regarding an opposition party created by Washington and whose leadership calls Washington a second home. U.S.-EU seek to undermine Cambodian election results. This is on the table, and we've seen this happen in many other countries, especially when we talked about South America today. We've talked about the way they tried to undermine Venezuela. I could talk about this for hours, but I bet many people didn't even realize the U.S. was manipulating Cambodia. There, in a BBC article entitled "Cambodia Election: Ruling Party Claims Landslide in Vote with No Main Opposition," they went on to claim, quote, "Critics have called the vote a sham, as the Cambodia National Rescue Party, which narrowly lost the last election, has been dissolved. The U.S. said the poll was flawed." They went on to say, "We are profoundly disappointed in the government's choice to disenfranchise millions of voters who are rightly proud of their country's development over the past 25 years. Statement coming from the White House. The U.S. will consider placing visa restrictions on more government officials," it continued to add. The EU said it has considered economic sanctions. However, the BBC never explains why the Cambodian National Rescue Party was dissolved. Had it talked about that, Washington and Brussels statements would have been immediately rendered hypocritical, and Cambodia's decision to dissolve the CNRP would be more than warranted. This is because the CNRP is openly run out of Washington, with U.S. support, open U.S. support, for the expressed aim of undermining and eventually overthrowing the current Cambodian government. What, doesn't that sound familiar to anybody? Doesn't that sound exactly like what they're trying to say Russia's trying to do to the U.S. government? Interesting. And of course, this always falls back on this very childish, naive premise that, well, we're doing it for good reasons because we're altruistic and have only good things in mind. Which, sure, of course, that's possible, but it's a very childish view of the world, especially knowing what has happened in the past, even the recent past of this government, and how we have been lied to repeatedly by the intelligence community, by our politicians, by our presidents. And even if it was for an honest reason, it still doesn't make it okay to blame somebody else for doing the exact same thing as some kind of an unprecedented event. So just let that sink in. Now, all these stories today, all the stuff we're talking about, it really does cut to the quick of it all and show you the reality here that we are being lied to. And the media is omitting everything that's truly happening in the world to keep you hyper-focused on things that are not that profound. Claims of Russia propaganda, claims that the FBI is manipulating you and lying to you, which of course they are. We know this. But guess what? No one's going to get in trouble for it. No one's going to be held accountable for it. As we've talked about many times, as people continue to slide away, people like James Clapper, who knowingly, openly lied to Congress And they all knew about it. It was talked about in many different papers, and they just let it go until he passed the statute of limitations. This is what happens. All these stories, all these things are ignored, and they lie to us, and they continue to spend our tax dollars on very horrible things all around the world. We have to begin to recognize this, people. We have to begin to share this information with people. We have to continue to document this information and show them facts. And not just, I think this is what's happening, but guess what? Here's some information that can show you that it definitely is happening. Are you okay with sending tens of millions of dollars a day to Israel while they're committing some of the worst human rights violations in history around the world? No, I'm not okay with that. You shouldn't be okay with that. And anybody that can be okay with that is being willfully ignorant of the situation. But you plant the seed and you come back. So I appreciate y'all tuning in today, as always. Please share this information with everybody out there. Make sure you check us out on Patreon.com/TLA Vagabond and make sure you support us in any way that you can, even if that's just simply sharing this video and showing people what's truly going on in the world. I love you all. I appreciate you all. Make sure you check out the show notes for all the independent sources included. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.